Thank you, Shannon. Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Mark, the fourth chapter, reading verses 25 to 34. I will say a little bit about it before we start, that this is Mark is the earliest of the four Gospels, the first one written. It was used as a source, a lot of source material for Matthew and Luke. And this fourth chapter is where all those parables start. Like the very first part of the chapter is the parable of the sower, you know, the very famous sower went out to sow. And so this is in the context of a lot of different parables that are told. And the one today, we have actually two in this little section here. So verse 25 to 34. He also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk and then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Not too long ago, I got invited to participate in a worship service at a large urban church. And so I went, and the pastor, the head pastor, took me into his office, and we were going to put our robes on and everything, and he kind of ducked out. It was about 10:15, I guess. And he said, I've got to go meet with the new members class, you know, say hi and shake their hands and all that stuff. He said, just hang out here and I'll be back, you know, about quarter till. So I was hanging out there. And then about 10:30, this teenage girl comes in, and she introduced herself as Eloise. And I go, hey. And we start talking, and she is great. You know, there's certain kids who you can tell they're used to talking to grown-ups. And she was very good at it. And we were talking. And she was in ninth grade, and she was telling me all the stuff she was doing. And I asked her what her plans were for the summer, and she told me her plans for the summer. And I was just very impressed with her, how mature she was and how she could really converse and connect. And, of course, I thought it's because I was so good at it, too, you know, that was probably the reason. But a little bit later, the pastor comes in. He says, oh, I see you met my daughter, Eloise. And I went, yeah, Eloise is great, man. And so Eloise, we started getting our robes on, and so she said bye and went into the sanctuary. And I said, that was really amazing that she came in here and talked to me like that. And he said, well, she really wasn't coming in here to talk to you. She was hiding. And I went, what do you mean she was hiding? I thought she was coming here to talk to me. And she said, no, she was hiding. She has paralyzing social anxiety. And walking around the corridors of the church, you know, she's my daughter, so everybody's saying hi to her. And she can't handle it. So she comes in here and hides out while everybody else is going to the sanctuary. And then right as the last minute, she'll go in the sanctuary so she doesn't have to talk to anybody. And I thought, wow, that is just, you know, I would have never guessed, because she has such a gift of communication. And but I think that we all have those kinds of struggles, don't we? And yours may not be anxiety. A lot of people have anxiety that they struggle with. Some people struggle with other things, struggle with depression or struggle with some sort of addiction or some people struggle really with grief and trying to overcome that grief. There's a lot of things that that can sort of keep us from being our best self. And yet inside, we know we have that. We know we have a gift to be able to reach out to other people, that God can use us in certain ways. But there is something that stands in our way. Maybe we can't follow through with things, that we go from thing to thing to thing, and we can't just do one thing. We all have it. And yet inside of us is that kernel of something that is really good and is really special. And the great good news of these parables today is that those good things in us can grow. Those good things in us can multiply and become bigger than the impediments that we all have. And so I want to look at these parables that Jesus told, because he talks about overcoming our obstacles like that. And maybe you can identify what yours is, because I think we all have them. But first, let's talk about, why does Jesus, this is the sermon title. I have to pick the sermon title early in the week. And so I'm going to tell you why Jesus told parables, and then we'll get that out of the way and then talk about what this is about. But Jesus told parables. I think there's three reasons. One thing, people remember stories better than they remember plain facts or information. Jesus could have said, God's going to grow good stuff in you, and that's a fact. But Jesus preferred to do it with a story of a seed growing into a bush. And I've learned that just like going and speaking at youth conferences. I remember the very first youth conference I was supposed to speak at was in Montana. And I'd flown all the way out there, and I got to the place. It was a camp. It was Super Bowl weekend, so it was in the winter. It was kind of a ski retreat. A bunch of teenagers, senior highs, and I walked in that room, and I'm supposed to do a 45-minute keynote for these teenagers. And I walk in that room, and they're mingling and laughing, and I realize there are a lot of agendas in that room, but none of them have anything to do with the keynote speaker. None of them. And so I thought, how in the world am I going to be able to talk to these kids for 45 minutes? A sermon's 20, 25, something like that, but 45 for a bunch of teenagers. And the instinct that kicked in that night was to tell stories. And I started telling a story about a girl on a youth retreat that I had that took a bunch of pills. And I got to a certain point in the story, and I said, okay, we'll pick this up tomorrow morning at keynote. And I didn't tell them what happened. It just ended it with us taking her to the emergency room. And afterwards, all these kids came at me, you got to tell me what happened to that girl. You got to tell me right now. I can't stand it. I can't go to bed unless you tell me what. It's like, God. But that's when I realized how powerful stories are. So I think Jesus, by telling parables, he engaged people that way. And that was one way of doing it. Second thing is, I think you can apply a story to a situation easier than you can just a fact. And like in our story today, this thing of he says the kingdom of God is like this, but he leaves you, it's like a seed, but we get to decide what that kingdom of God is. And it can be, this big kind of eschatological end time thing, or it can be a church, or it can be something in us. And that's the freedom those parables get us. And so it doesn't just nail it down, and it allows us to make it our own. And the third thing is that when you hear a parable, you have to put some effort into understanding it. The people who don't care, it's just going to go right over their head. It's going to be a story about seeds going in the ground and making bushes. And so but somebody who's hungry, somebody who really wants to dig a meaning out of something, is going to look at a parable and go, how does this help me with my stuff? How does this help me overcome what's in my life right now that I'm trying to overcome? And that's what I want us all to do, okay, is that last part. How is this going to help you? So I'm going to give you some things. All right, so let's try to understand this parable. Parable number one Verse 26, the kingdom of God is as if someone scattered seed on the ground. So first, that seed is already in you. Whatever that is, whether it's just terminal shyness or everything that you've got to overcome, the seed to overcome that is already there. God has put that seed in you already. It's already been sown. It's already been scattered. And then the second thing, it says in verse 27, that the seed will sprout and grow. He does not know how. You ever had a moment like that where you think, how am I going to change? How am I ever going to be different? And the good news in this is, it says you don't know how. The seed grows. You start, the kingdom of God in you starts to grow. And you don't know how it's happening. It's just happening. You know, think about your own spiritual growth and the things that you're trying to overcome in your life. Whether, you know, any of those things I mentioned, you know, whether it's anxiety or social anxiety or it's depression or it's addiction or if whatever it is not being able to follow through, anything like that, the antidote to that, the way to overcome that is the kingdom of God growing in. And you don't have to understand how, because it says he does not know how. It's what God is doing in you. And, you know, we're so used to getting feedback on everything. You know, we're so used to seeing how much battery we have left on our phone. You know, we're so used to everything, you know, getting all this telemetry and feedback that we're kind of used to that. And this is saying, you're not going to know how. It's going to happen, and you're not going to know how. And then the third thing about it is that there is order to it. There's order in the way you grow. And this is really important. It says, verse 28, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. They used to say in the ear. Remember, they used to say, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But there's a progression. And that's a very agricultural. We can see that in our community garden. You know, the progression of a plant. But we don't give ourselves that grace, do we? We want it to be full blown immediately. And it's just not. And in fact, the way we grow in Christ, it's generally two steps forward and then one step back, right? We make big progress over the things, our obstacles, and then we step back and it overcomes us a little bit again. And it's that point where we go, okay, I'm hopeless. I'm absolutely hopeless. This is never going to happen. But it says in here that there is this order to it. That it's not going to be full-blown. It's you got to, I hate Jesus, but baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. You've got to be able to take a step and be content with that step. First the stalk, and let that be it. And then the ear shows up, and then the grain in the ear. And it's just, it's not a straight line. Your arc to getting where you want to be is not a straight line. And if you find yourself just paralyzed by grief right now, and you're not getting out, and you're not doing anything, this is a way, you're going to get there. You're going to get there because the kingdom of God is in you, and is growing. But it's not going to be all, you know, one fell swoop. It's going to be stages, and you'll get there. So that's good news. Okay, the second parable is the famous mustard seed parable. It's verse 31, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is sown upon the ground, the smallest of all the seeds on earth. The smallest seed. Now, folks, we in America like big stuff. We like things to be big, you know, and we like our churches to be big. And people on the radio don't realize that this is a small church. You know, it's not a mega church. It's small. You can know everybody's name in this church in a week or two. But what's wonderful about this passage that gets overlooked is that God delights in the smallest things. It didn't say that the kingdom of God is like a walnut tree where you get a big old walnut and you put it in the ground. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. You ever seen turnip seeds? You know, they're tiny, or basil seeds. They're just tiny, tiny little, what'd you say, Shannon? It was the end of a fountain pen? That is what God loves. God loves taking the tiniest thing and letting it flourish and letting it grow. So if you just sense in yourself like, man, I got a little of the kingdom of God in me. I know I got that, but it's so small. My faith is so small. They call it, you know, mustard seed faith. It's so small. That's exactly where it should be. That's where you need to be. That's where God's power becomes magnificent. You know, in another place, I don't usually quote scriptures, but he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I think about that so many Sunday mornings before I preach, as I don't feel up to it. I don't feel like it's any good. And I just say, God, you know, let your, my weakness is plain to see. Let your strength be made perfect in this. And so if your power to overcome your obstacle is small, God is not small. God is strong. And tiny faith does not disqualify you. Tiny faith is normative. Tiny faith is where God wants to start, where God starts. Jesus told this story about the tiny little mustard seed, not the walnut. And that is normative, and that's great. But recognize it's there, and recognize that the kingdom of God is in you to overcome these things, to overcome any obstacle. You know, I listed them before again, your social anxiety, your depression, any kind of addiction, you know, any kind of like just I can't follow through on stuff, just paralyzing grief, whatever it is, the kingdom of God, it may be tiny, but tiny is where God works. God's greatest power is in tiny. And I want to say this too. God works in tiny churches. This applies to us here at Trinity. And I do think we have a tendency. All right, I'll just say me, okay? You see if it's you. I have a tendency to think things don't change, to think everything is, you know, it's just inertia. You know, the second law of thermodynamics, everything is just going to just fall apart. And the reason I know I feel that way is because when things change for the better, I'm amazed and surprised. And I look at where this church has come, and I think, wow, Lord, look what you did. And think about you and your spiritual life. Think of where you were a year ago or 2 years ago and where God has brought you now. God changes us. That little seed grows and grows, and God delights in taking something little and working on it and nurturing it and letting it flourish. And it's not about size. It's not like, okay, we want Trinity Presbyterian Church to be a mega church. No, we don't. But we want Trinity Presbyterian Church to be full of God's grace and God's power, and to be able to minister to people when they come in, and to be able to help change lives and help all of us get beyond those impediments, those obstacles we have, because the kingdom of God is in us. I want to close with this quote from Paul Tillich, and I've used it before. But when you're talking, you know, I think you have to say this every time we're talking about improving. When you improve, God is not going to love you more than God loves you now. Okay? We have to really establish that improving is for us and for our life, but it's not to win favor with God. God's grace is for all of us. And God wants you to have a whole fulfilled life of following Christ, and of being able to sense the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, changing people's lives and touching people and multiplying this. You know, you think, we said this at the session meeting, this is a small little church. We got two people that are candidates to be ministers coming out of this church. That's amazing. And that's what happens when mustard seed faith starts to grow, is that the world gets changed by these tiny little things that grow. And but don't have in your mind that when I lay down this impediment, when I lay down my obstacle and the kingdom of God overcomes it, that God's going to love me, really love me then, Because God loves you right now as much as you can be loved. You are totally loved, and you don't have a change a thing for God to love you. And so I want to close with this Tillich quote because it says so much about God's grace. Sometimes a wave of light breaks into our darkness, and it is as though a voice were saying, "You are accepted. You are accepted. Accepted by that which is greater than you and the name of which you do not know. Do not seek for anything. Do not perform anything. Do not intend anything. Simply accept the fact that you have been accepted." And if that happens to us, we experience grace. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much that the kingdom of God is inside us. And you delight in taking that tiny little spark and growing it into a flame. Thank you, God, for all you've done in our lives personally. Thank you for all you've done in the life of Trinity Presbyterian Church. And we look forward, Lord, to what you're going to do to take us from where we are here and now today into this next year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And now, in response to God's word, let us stand as we are able and boldly proclaim what we believe.